If you have your Bibles, go to 1 Chronicles 29. I want to actually just put a slide, first slide up, A Place for God to Meet Us, my title this morning. That'll be fantastic. Say it with me, A Place for God to Meet Us. That's His church. A place for God to meet us. Who enjoys meeting God? It's something about meeting Him personally, but there's far greater power and strength when we do it corporately. So it's great to come together. And so I've taken this from the Message Bible in 1 Chronicles 29, 1. This is not a place for people to meet each other, but a place for God to meet us. David is talking about bringing his entire wealth, which I think Shane worked out was about $3.5 billion, if I got it right, today's money. He was near the end of his life, and he was prophesying that the best thing that anyone can do with their life is to build the house of God. How cool is that? I'm excited anyway. See, King David was prophesying about the church. And I don't think often we get this. This is a place for God to meet us. And yes, we will meet each other in this house. It's not saying that he's bringing the attention that the most important thing is that God meets us. And so I want to talk to you this morning. My first point, our future is freed when we allow God to meet us. Our future is freed when we allow God to meet us. AJ, if you've got that, that'd be fantastic. You know, I want to tell you the story this morning. God told Elijah to go to a widow in Zarephath, and that widow would feed him because there was a drought in the land. You'll find it in 1 Kings 17. What I find really interesting about this is that what Elijah did not know is that this widow was actually at the end of her life with nothing left. God loved this woman so much that he was going to meet through the man of God, Elijah, to change her circumstances around. Go and meet a woman, he said, who will feed you. And this woman, when he found her, was gathering her sticks and to cook a fire for her last meal. And she was saying that she didn't actually have much left, a little bit of flour for her and a son, and that would be it. My life's over. Goodbye. Do you know this is exactly the same reference that could be made when I talked about Moses a little bit earlier? Do you know that those people were looking like their life was ending, but God found a way? Do you know that right through the Bible, God, when we meet with God, that God changes what seems impossible? And here we are, and Elijah does something really brave when he actually found out the circumstances of this lady. Just cook me a little loaf first. It's her last bit of flour and oil. Just cook me a little bit first. And then he said something that would change her world forever. And it was straight from the Lord himself. He said, you cook me a little bit first and I'll have a little feed with you. And your flour won't run out and your oil will never, your jars will never run dry until the drought is over. And that is exactly what happened. God is a miracle working God. God is in the business of changing things that look like they are dead and bringing them to life. Where life seems to be in ruins, He can resurrect them. And I know that all of us have probably got something that we want to give to God that has been a bit of an issue or a challenge for us. And I believe today that we can pray and believe that God is going to change that situation. Her choice, let's not forget, it was her choice to feed the man of God. It was her choice that opened up a meeting with God. Her choice changed her perspective. Her choice left her with an endless supply. She was freed when she decided to meet what God had asked. In 1 Chronicles 29:9, the people rejoiced over the offerings. They had given willingly and wholeheartedly, the Bible says, for the building of the church, the temple. And the people rejoiced. Let's say it together. The people rejoiced over the offerings. You know, if you're going to bring an offering, you might as well be good-hearted about it. No one's going to, it's not something that we absolutely have to do. We do it because we love our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our priority in our life. And for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, it goes on, and King David was filled with joy. The people rejoiced over the offerings. I'm not sure we've quite got there yet. I'm going to continue. The ruins, my second point, come to life. The ruins come to life. Do you know, Hillsong's been getting a bit of bad press lately, so I thought I'd just mention that their song Glorious Ruins in 2013 that was released was number 3 on the ARIA charts for about 6 weeks. How cool, not just a song, the whole album. It says in part of that their song Glorious Ruins, it says this, there's four lines. Let the ruins come to life in the beauty of your name. Rising up from the ashes, God, forever you reign. The Old Testament speaks about physical ruins of the temple, Solomon's temple, which we've just described, and how the people willingly, and then they went away from God for a while. You know, it pays not to go away from what God has for your life. The temple was burned, destroyed under Nebuchadnezzar's rule in 586 BC. It was left as smoking ashes, charred and ruined, exactly like the Glorious Ruins song. And the book of Ezra talks about this. So I want to, if you've got a real Bible, I encourage you to find it straight away. If you got an electronic version, it's a lot easier. But in Ezra chapter 9, there is an amazing couple of verses. In verse 8, it says this. Here we go. But now we have been given a brief moment of grace. This is Ezra talking. For the Lord our God has allowed a few of us to survive as a remnant. He has given us security in this holy place. Our God had... Oh my goodness. I don't even... It's amazing. The wording. Our God has brightened our eyes and granted us some relief from our slavery. Come on. Can you see the ongoing work of the Lord from beginning? When Moses, they thought they were trapped, they were enslaved, but they were set free because God loves his people. God loves his church. God loves those who will put their faith and trust in him, who will believe in him. And sometimes that's just one person in Moses' case. But he still loved them. There is always going to be a remnant. The church cannot be destroyed. It's the power of the future. When people's lives turn around from their slavery, God gives us relief. And it's not just about money, is it? It's about who we are. Look what it says next. For we were slaves, but in his unfailing love, our God did not abandon us in our slavery. Instead, he caused the kings of Persia to treat us favorably. He revived us so that we were able to rebuild the temple of our God and repair its ruins. You know, the most amazing thing about this is, at this point in time, is that the ruins are only actually at plate level. They're only the foundation. I'll get back to that. All humanity, through sin, what was once glorious was left in ruins. It is true for me and it's true for you. Who knows that most of us do things wrong even now? A few of us? But thank God that we, because of what he has done for us, and of course now we're living in the New Testament, we've got Christ in our, because of what Christ has done on the cross, we never have to worry anymore about whether we're set free. We can sing about it and praise him because he's done it all for us. It's the grace of God. Man, it's about the love of God before anything else. And so, you know, I look about this, think about this, these ruins of in Ezra. We may be, we talk about it actually. Someone who's actually had a lot of wealth and then they're financially ruined. Or maybe you're ruined by reputation. Or maybe you're ruined by relationships. And we may feel ruined through disability or illness. Whatever the situation is, you can feel ruined. But the powerful thing is that ruins come to life through the glory of his name. I want to say that one more time. Can you help me out here? But the powerful thing is that the ruins come to life through the glory of his name. Who's glad for their salvation this morning? The ruins have come to life. The ruins have come to life. Yes. And so Ezra is speaking a message of release, a message of revival, a message of rebuilding, a message of restoration. This is what the church does best. Come on. He revived us. He rebuilt us. He repaired us. He treats us favorably. That's something to sing about. And thank God the ruins came to life. I'm still not sure you're completely there with me. Some years ago, Andrew and I walked around the ruins of the Colosseum in Rome. The ruins were a reminder of better days, of the power of Rome in its day. But now it's mostly rubble. You could see the power of Rome and what it would have been like, you could imagine. And you could also see the defeat. And our lives can be so good one day, yet terrible the next. And the good news today is that the ruins come to life. And Ezra is speaking about God bringing back to life something that was left in ruins. This is what the church does best. It's bringing back to life. And God can cause the ruins to come to life. God can cause your neighbor's situation to come to life. God can cause that sickness to come to life again, resurrection life through the power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever the situation, the ruins can be transformed. Israel looked doomed. I said I'd come back here. But God met them at the Red Sea. The widow of Zarephath was ruined, but God met with her. The book of Ezra is remarkable. It is about God taking something that is broken, fallen down. Come and have a seat, guys. Just come in. Good to have you here. You know, what was I saying? The book of Ezra is remarkable. It's about God taking something that is broken, something that is fallen down in disrepair, ruined, and making it great again. It's the same with the church today. We're in the business of bringing ruins to life. We are the Elijahs of the modern day world. We are all ministers. We all have the same power that Elijah had back in his day. Don't underestimate what God can use you for. Oh, just have a little dance. The glorious ruins can reflect the greatness of our God. Was that you, Sarah? Oh. That's one way to lighten the meeting. It's good. The glorious ruins can reflect the greatness of our God. She's taking notes. I'm impressed. It's her father. That's not bad. I'm not sure you have got this just yet. Can I go on? I want to make another point. 3. We meet with God through our praise. Come on, AJ. We meet with God through our praise. We meet with God through our praise. I've got to tell you more. You see, one of the foundations of resurrection life is praise power. Oh, a few of you. You haven't quite got there yet, but we'll get there. Literally, the Old Testament temple was in ruins. It was in total disrepair. It was charred ashes. It was fallen down, ruined. I think you got it. What had previously been glorious was ruined. And through the leadership of Ezra, they started rebuilding the temple. And it tells us that they only got to the foundation stage. Do you know what they started to do when it was only the foundation stage? Do you know what they did whilst the temple was not yet glorious? Do you know what they did whilst it was still the start of the project rather than at the end? They praised their God. They praised their God. I want to say this morning that praise works best at the beginning. Praise works best at the beginning. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Praise works best at the beginning. That's why we start our services with praise. Don't think that it's just the entree or the little tidbits which I just disregard because I want the main meal. You know, it's about praising our God and opening ourselves up to what God has for us every time we come and worship Him. And so when we wake up in the morning, a great thing to do is to wake up. And if you're like me, you're an early morning person. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for this day. You can ask my wife. I'm pretty good in the mornings. And if you're a late person, well, just go to that machine, grab your coffee, take the shakes away, and then praise your God. Don't leave it to the end of the day. Because who knows, by the end of the day, you got more problems. You got to praise your God early. Get into His house and praise Him. It's not just the first course, it's praise. Great things happen through praise. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Psalm 104. Whew, that wasn't bad, was it? I've surprised myself. I'm not sure you've got this yet. When the builders completed the foundation of the... Look at this, Ezra 3:10. I think we got the PowerPoint. When the builders completed the foundation of the Lord's temple, the priests... All right, it's old-fashioned. We don't wear... Oh, do you like my shirt? All right, we don't have to put robes on anymore. Thank you, Jesus. We can be normal like you. We're all ministers. Someone just has to lead. Okay, that's another message. The priests put on their robes and took their places to blow their trumpets. It's only the foundation. They don't even know if they're going to finish it yet, but they're... How good is that? They're excited because suddenly they've got vision and purpose back for their life. And the Levites, it goes on. The Levites clashed their cymbals. Be good to have, you can imagine it. And just as King David had prescribed, with praise and thanks, they sang this song to the Lord. He is so good. Turn to your neighbor and say, He is so good. His faithful love for Israel endures forever. You know, that's His house. It's us today. His faithful love endures how long? Forever. Forever. Forever, not just for a day, not just for a season. And yet we can turn away from God and forget that His love is with us every day, and He's the answer to some of our situations that currently aren't going so well. But if we gave Him some praise, maybe that would turn around a little bit. We actually, rather than got negative, started to go, well, thank you, Lord, I'm giving this to you. Are you going to allow God to meet with you? Widow of Zarephath, am I going to allow God to do this? Am I going to meet with Him? Or am I just going to do what the rest of the world does? Well, I'm looking after number one. See, Look at this in verse 11. Then all the people gave a great shout. I was going to say it again. Then all the people gave a great
shout.
Then all the people gave a great
shout.
One more time. Then all the people gave a great
shout.
Praising the Lord because the foundation of the Lord's temple had been laid. We are not going through the motions when we come into the house of the Lord. Be a praising people, not just in church, but every day. Know the power of praise. Moses did not wait for the Red Sea to be parted before he gave God praise. You didn't know that was there, did you? What did I say? Moses did not wait for the Red Sea to be parted before he gave God praise. The people were whinging and complaining and criticizing. Moses, you've really done it this time. They were about to kill him right there and then. But Moses, whilst they were still complaining, was praising. Stand and watch, he says, the Lord deliver us. Stand and watch the Lord. You don't just say something like that if you haven't met with God. And what is it today that is in an obstacle in your life? Through Moses' praise and prayer, they overcame. And the church is the place of God's power to bring release into your world. And what are you going to do today? Stand and accuse or whinge and complain, or take up a spirit of praise and place your faith in the hope of the Lord? The offering over the next 12 months will help free your future. I'm not sure you've got that. The offering over the next 12 months will help free your future. So you are coming with the opposite spirit to the world, thankful for your deliverance and for the greater purposes that you have through your God. I'm rising from the ashes into my best life. And after the, you know, Moses is saying all that stuff. They get through the other side. They're watching the sharks waving to them on either side. They get through the other side. They watch the seas swallow up their enemy. And once their opposition has been done away with, once they're rescued and they know that they're safe, there's this enormous amount of water between them and their enemy. They start to sing, "The Lord has triumphed gloriously." It's easy to praise God after the event. I said it's easier to praise God after the event. It's easy to see, wow, did we manage to do that? Was that really possible? It's easy to praise God after. But what made Moses a leader was his ability to praise God before the miracle. Now, I'd like those men and women who are husband and wife to really get a hold of this morning. And men, let's be real men. Let's rise up and take a hold of who God is in our life today. If you're a solo person or a young person, whoever you are today, young or old, we've got to rise up in our spirit and praise God for His life. His life or no way, no life. I'm doing this, my priority is heaven-focused. And so the best way to look at a dead thing in your life is to do it with a spirit of praise. Praise God in the bathroom. Praise God in the living room. Praise God in the dining room. Praise God when you're having a bad hair day. Praise God when your dress doesn't fit so right. Praise God in the shower. Praise God in the garage. Praise Him in the car. Praise Him on the train. Just praise Him. And the coffee machine may let you down. Praise Him anyway. That's a bad day. Your dress may not be going so well. Oh, that's an even worse day if you're a woman. I know. I'm married to one. Your hair might not be sitting so right. Who cares? Praise God anyway. Speak into the heavenlies and change the atmosphere over your life. You're speaking into your future. And this is how they approach Solomon's temple. Let's go there, AJ, with me. 1 Chronicles 29:9. The people rejoiced over their offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and King David was filled with joy. The people what? Rejoiced over there? When we give with the spirit of praise, we have the best opportunity to bring our ruins back to life. And that is how they approached the building of the temple in Ezra. Before it was even beyond its foundation, they gave God praise. Praise God for the continuation of C3 Frio. I said, praise God for C3 Frio. And then praise God for the embryo of C3 Wellard. Come on. It's an opportunity for the ruins to come to life. I don't know if you've quite got there yet. Lazarus was Jesus' friend. He was very close to the girls, Mary, the others. And when Jesus was confronted by death, the death of his friend Lazarus, his words spoke life, not death. Look at this. I'm pretty sure I'll put a PowerPoint up. Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. Your brother will rise again. I am the resurrection and the life. When it really counted, when Jesus finally made it to the tomb of Lazarus, who by this stage is stinking dead. Several days in the Middle Eastern sun dead. Smelling, stench dead. And this is what Jesus was confronted with. And what did Jesus say? Father, thank you for hearing me. Wow. Father, thank you for hearing me. John 11:42. He said that loudly. The kids are waiting outside. You know, all our kids are bringing their offering this morning. How cool is that? And so, 2 minutes, guys, out there, the crowd, great crowd around him as he was confronted by death. And Jesus, after saying thank you, giving praise to his Father, the tomb's been rolled away. The smell is terrible. And he says, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus comes out. Lazarus walks out. He'd been dead for 4 days, and he walks out in the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is bringing ruins back to life. Don't underestimate the power of what Christ can do in your life. If you want people, the dead things to come alive in your life, know how to praise him. His name is greater. His name is higher. Our hope is in him. And this is why God's people rejoice in their offerings. He has delivered us. I'm excited about that. He has saved us. He has revived us, and he has called us from ruin to life. Let the ruins come to life. You know, turn to your neighbor and say, praise yourself happy. Praise yourself happy. Praise yourself happy. Praise yourself happy. Is that good theology? It's great theology. Praise yourself happy. One last thing before the kids come in. And the kids will appreciate this if they're listening. The disciples had been popular while they'd been with Jesus. And if they were on reality TV, they would have had quite a following. TV crews would have been following them around. But then Jesus asked them to feed the 5,000 people. They looked at one another and said, our lives are ruined. We can't possibly feed 5,000 people. We don't have that much money in the kitty. It would take many years to pay for this amount of food. And then in actual fact, it's probably 15,000 people, not 5,000 people, because they always... It was always just the men that they counted. I don't know why. So there was probably another 5,000 women and at least 5,000 children in our church. It would have been 20,000 children. But, you know, the point is, there was a lot. And a little boy comes forward with his play lunch. And there's these two scrawny little fish. Like, if I went fishing, that'd be me. My little fish. And five small loaves. You know, it's a little bit play lunch. And this is what we've got, Jesus. You know, they're saying, the disciples, and they're thinking, oh, we're ruined. Our life is over. And Jesus says, tell all the people to sit down. Okay, boss. And the disciples say to themselves, this is not going to end well. What did Jesus do? I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, that you are going to multiply what is here. I put my trust in the Father in heaven. What's remarkable is that they had fed 100,000 people. And the beauty of it is that there's still 12 basketfuls left over. How does that happen? 2 fish, 5 loaves, 12 basketfuls left over. We've got to put our name and who we are in the hands, and we've got to meet with God today. Are we ready to give, church? You see, Ezra 3:13, this is the kind of church I want to pastor, and I'm just going to finish right here. Ezra 3:13, I've got the PowerPoint. The joyful shouting and weeping mingled together in a loud commotion that could be heard far in the distance. The joyful shouting, because they had laid the foundation of the temple. There was so much joy. Everything we do revolves around bringing our offerings and who we are into the house of God, because that's where the blessing comes on our lives. Man, I've got to finish. Thank you, Lord. See, the devil knows the power of praise. Come on, we're going to praise God in a moment. You know, right on your chairs, take behind you, if you haven't filled one in already. Andrew and I have ours here. I've actually put it in an envelope. Please take your card if you need a we're going to do this offering right now. I've got 3 slides here, how to give your faith promise card. I'll just thank the kids for their patience while we do this. Number one, what can I give? Got that? What can I give? If you need a pen, just keep your hand up and the ushers will bring you one. If you need a pen for this offering, just keep your hand up and the ushers will give you one, please. What can I give? Number two, what could I give up? You know, I can save myself $1,000 a year just by not buying coffee. It's worth it for building the kingdom of God. And number three, what could I believe God for? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. We've talked about it today. It's more than I have, this part. But it's not everything. But what can I believe God for? What can I trust God for? The Bible says that faith pleases God, and so that's why we call it a faith promise offering. As we've seen from the illustrations in the Bible today, when we apply faith, we meet with God. What could I give up? What could I give? What could I give up? What could I believe God for?